story is told of a man that was visiting the Capitol building when the congressmen were in session, and he had his little boy with him. And the little boy watched from the gallery as the House was called to order. And he looked up at his father and he said, "Why did that minister pray for all those men, Pop?" And the father quickly replied, "He didn't. He looked them over and he prayed for our country." He prayed. We look at a lot of our politicians today and we wonder, what have we elected? What have we got ourselves into? But as I go on with this message this morning, I think we will begin to realize why we have gotten ourselves into the state politically, our state physically, our financial condition, why we have gotten into the position that we were in. And it's sad, but I have a glorious outcome that I'm going to present to you today that will put a whole new light on this subject. A way that we can turn our world around. The way that we can transform our world through the power of our prayers. I can't pray eloquently like some people can. God's not looking for that kind of prayer. He's looking for prayer from our hearts that will touch the throne of God and bring deliverance to our country. Prayer is one of the most talked about subjects that there is, but too often not practiced. Many times, the very people that get on their bandbox about prayer being taken out of the public schools will have to admit that they have a very poor and sometimes non-existent prayer life. We can't complain about the condition of things if we're not going to pray and do something about it. God expects us to take action. We can't fight the battles, but we have someone who is in control that can fight the battles for us today.
Amen.
I wondered, was I going to get an amen? Amen, Baba.
Yes.
God will fight our battles for us.
Every day.
We will have the victory in our lives if we just turn it over to God. And all He wants us to do is to be obedient and put our faith and our trust in Him and ask.
Amen.
Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it will be opened. We don't see the doors opening. We don't even hear a voice on the other side of the door sometimes. But God is there to hear and to answer our prayers. And God is touched by every single thing that touches our lives. After being interviewed by the school administration, a prospective teacher said, "Now let me see if I've got this right. You want me to go into that classroom with all of those kids, correct their disruptive behavior, observe for signs of abuse, monitor their dress habits, censor the messages on their t-shirts, and instill with them a love for learning. You want me to check their backpacks for weapons, to wage war on drugs and sexually transmitted diseases, and you want me to raise their sense of self-esteem and personal pride. You want me to teach them patriotism and good citizenship and sportsmanship and fair play. You want me to tell them all of this stuff. You want me to teach them how to register to vote. You want me to teach them how to balance a checkbook or how to apply for a job. You even want me to check their heads for lice, to recognize signs of antisocial behavior and make sure that they pass all of their final exams with flying colors. You also want me to provide them with an equal education, regardless of their handicaps, and communicate regularly with their parents, whether it be in English or Spanish or some other language. You want me to communicate by letter, by telephone, by newsletter, by report card. You want me to do all of this with a piece of chalk and a blackboard, a few books and a big happy smile, and a starting salary that qualifies me for food stamps.
Amen.
You want me to do all of this, and then you tell me I can't pray? Something's wrong with the picture. Yes, our teachers need to pray. Yes, parents need to pray. This prayer thing needs to start at home. It doesn't need to wait until your child gets in kindergarten or pre-K or first grade. It needs to start when they're the size of Ellie. And teach that child that we say grace before we eat. Teach that child that God loves us and He hears us, and we need to pray to that God. According to the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church, when people unite as professing members of a local church, like here at Bethel, they profess their faith in God. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. They covenant together with God and with the other members of the local church to keep the vows which are a part of the order of confirmation and reception into the church. It says to faithfully participate in its ministries by their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their services, and their witness. What was that first thing I said? Prayers. By their prayers. Everybody does not have the means to get out and financially support an organization. They may not be able physically to get out and do the things that they did 20, 30 years ago. But if there's anything anybody, anywhere, anytime can do, it's pray. And you are not supposed to wait, folks, until you get to church on Sunday morning and say, Our Father who art in heaven.
24/7.
God is there, as Bubba just said, 24/7. He's there to hear and answer our prayers. It doesn't make any difference what circumstances we face in life. God knows.
Amen.
And God loves us unconditionally. I've heard people say over the years, well, when I get my act together, then I'll come to church, and then I'll pray, and then I'll participate. You won't ever get there. Because none of us ever get our act totally together. I don't have mine totally together. But I know somebody that can put the pieces in place.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, is the answer to our situation. I'm going to hit close to home now. How about your prayer life? Do you need to make some improvements? I think we'd all say yes if we were asked individually. What can we do to improve our prayer life? Our prayer practices critically affect our discipleship. The discipleship that I'm talking about is not that 12-week Bible study thing. I'm talking about the discipleship of being a follower, an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. The time we spend in prayer is reflected in our lives. Whoops. And adversely, the time that we do not spend in prayer is reflected in our lives. If we spent more time in prayer, we wouldn't often say and do the things that we do and say. Because our lives would be filled with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But when we fill our minds and our thoughts and our actions with carnal worldly things. Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we feed into our thoughts and our minds is what's going to be, what's going to come out of our mouth. And is it going to be pleasing to God? Or is it going to be offensive to someone and hurt their feelings and cause them to never want to darken the doors of the church again? That happens, people, more times than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Whenever we let things come between us and doing what we should do. If God cannot be glorified by it, don't do it. Don't say it. Paul tells us, in prayer and in supplication, make your petitions known to God. There's different ways of praying. You don't have to stand up here and do all the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys. You can pray through song. You can pray through reading the Scripture in many, many more ways. And no one way of praying is better than any other way. The important thing is that you do it, that you pray. In addition to telling us how to pray, Jesus told some ways not to pray. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they can be seen by other people. Also, when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God knows what we need today before we ever ask. So why beat around the bush? Say, God, I need your strength. God, I need your guidance. I need your love. I need your leadership. That's what prayer is. And he's looking at prayer, honest prayer from the heart. And it'll get to him faster than any text message, any telephone call, because he knows ahead of time. He knows what you need, and all he wants you to do is say, Father, I need. And he's there. And sometimes the answer that we get is not going to be the answer that we're hoping for. Sometimes he says, just wait a minute. Back up and wait. I could do this for you that you're asking, but the time is not right. I've got something better and bigger and greater for you than what you can even imagine. But trust me. Trust me. We've always been leery of people in politics that would get out and say, you vote for me, trust me. We're going to do this thing. And you think automatically they're lying through their teeth. And it gets you to the point that you don't trust anybody. If somebody says, trust me, hair stands up on the back of my neck. I think, they ain't no way I'm going to trust you. But when God says, trust me, trust my son Jesus, you can take that to the bank. You can trust him every time because he will not, under any circumstances, fail you. We can speak to God one-on-one, anytime, anywhere. And he hears and he answers our prayer. The story is told of a little boy that was saying his bedtime prayers, and he was praying very softly in a very small, humble voice. And his mother says, son, I can't hear you. He says, I'm sorry, I wasn't talking to you. But you know, God hears us. Regardless of how soft we talk, regardless of how loud we talk, God hears us every single time. It's so wonderful, so reassuring to know that God doesn't care about the tone or the pitch of our voice. We could talk to this Heavenly Father of ours. and he hears every word. In Sunday school this morning, Daniel was talking to the teenagers about how that God heard Abraham and Sarah. God heard them. And God answered the prayer. It was not according to Abraham and Sarah's timetable that Isaac was born. It was according to God's timetable. And the timetable says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we can turn our life around. Today is the day that we can turn Bethel community around. That we can turn Bethel church around. So it would be standing room only in here. This can happen, but only from a kneeling position and us praying to God to show us the way instead of trying to take the matter into our own hands. Let God reveal through the power of the Holy Spirit what He wants for me, what He wants for you. Then we will see miracles take place. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, had this to say about the effects of prayer. John Wesley says that God always answers prayers. And Wesley encouraged others in their discipleship. Wesley says, begin praying. Fix some part of every day for your prayer, private prayer exercises. Whether you like it or not, this is something that you have to do. You have to read and pray daily. This is for your life. Not just your life here on earth, but this is for your eternal life in the life hereafter. Jesus talked to his heavenly Father. He went out into the garden and prayed alone. He went down by the seaside and he prayed. He separated himself from all the noise and the hustle and bustle of things around him, and he took time to pray and seek the guidance of his heavenly Father. Jesus set the perfect example for us to follow and for his disciples. He attended worship services regularly as a child and as an adult. We have to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Acknowledge Christ as our Savior and the pattern for living. When we pray, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The words, when you pray, sets forth Jesus' most important teaching on prayer. Jesus is assuming that all Christians will pray. That don't happen. We may pray when we accept Christ as our Savior and say, Father, forgive my sins. Help me to have that eternal life. But prayer is an ongoing thing. It's something that we have to do on a daily basis. Pray without ceasing. Last Sunday before the musical, we were discussing the Trinity, and it came up about pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means don't stop praying. Amen. Just because you feel good or just because you feel like your prayer is answered, that's no time to quit. If anything, that's a time to increase our prayer life. To pray harder than ever before, that the devil does not sneak in and steal our joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. So that's an accepted thing that we pray and ask God for our needs. Present your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. Persist in prayer. How much more shall your heavenly Father give are the key words that finalize the Lord's teaching on prayer. Amen. We all want to give good gifts to our children. Yet, even the best of earthly parents are referred to as evil givers when contrasted with the Heavenly Father's ability to give.
Amen.
You can never outgive God.
Amen.
We give out of what we have in our pocket. And God's storehouse of blessings is always full. He gives out His blessings to each and every one of us. We are a blessed people because of God's unconditional love. We give out of our means. God gives out of His richness. When God gives us the gift of Himself through the work of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the abundance of His riches, both physical and spiritual, are brought with Him to live within us. We talked in Sunday school this morning about Jesus coming and living within our hearts, about having the Holy Spirit in our life to lead us and to guide us. We have the riches of God in our lives. That is what Christianity is about. We cannot expect to go out here and change the world through who we vote for, who our representatives are in Congress. But we can change the world one prayer at a time. And when we do this, all of those men and women that we're talking about today that gave them their lives as a sacrifice that we could have freedom to pray, they will not have died in vain. They died because they believed in something. They believed in the land of the free, the home of the brave. They gave their life that we could have a safe place to live. Jesus gave His Son that we could live in that safe place and that we could live with Him throughout eternity. Many people today have heavy hearts because of having lost a loved one in war. And all of us know somebody somewhere who has lost a loved one in the armed services. And yes, we're sad and we grieve with them. But Abraham was willing to offer Isaac on that altar. Our Father God gave His only Son so that we could have victory in Jesus, so that we could have this eternal life. We have a lot to be thankful for. We can rejoice and be exceedingly glad in the fact that we serve a risen Savior today. That God is hearing and answering our prayers. He's right there with the answer today. If we would just open our hearts and our mouths and say, "Okay, Father." Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand and we to make intercession for us. And when we come to Him, Jesus turns around and He says, "Hey, Daddy, that's mine. That's my brother. That's my sister. My blood covers that." Mm-hmm. So when we put our faith and our trust in this God, He will never let us down. Yeah. Let us pray.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we're so thankful, Lord, because of the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, Father, because even though we may mess up and we may not pray like we should, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that you are a prayer-answering God. Lord, we're so thankful this Memorial Day for the men and women that have given their lives for our freedom, for our country. But more than that, Lord, we're thankful for your Son that gave his life, that not only can we live today, but that we can live eternally with you. Father, we pray that you would, if there's any man, woman, boy, and girl that is here today that has not made that confession of faith, that has not accepted you as their personal Savior, Father, help them to just cry out, "Our Father, forgive me." Lord, forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, and help us to be the men and women that you would have us to be. Help us to be men and women of prayer. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.